WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inflation at the wholesale level easing a bit last month. Producer prices down 2.6% year to year. Tomorrow we find out about prices at the consumer level, which is what a lot of economists use to gauge inflation. NATO scrambling jets after Russia violated Russian airspace. The drones were shot down. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It comes less than a week after Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to China, showing unity with leaders of China and North Korea. Since that meeting, Russia has staged its largest aerial attack on Ukraine since the war began.
Russia now claiming it did not deliberately target Poland when it sent the drones there. Demonstrators fanning out across France. They have called for a full day of strikes and protests over proposals to cut government spending. Police in Queens, New York are looking for the man suspected of murdering a husband and wife in their 70s, terrorizing them for 5 hours before tying the husband to a pole and setting him on fire. The wife also burned. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents to check a used vehicle they're planning to buy for potential flood damage. According to a press release, water damage can be difficult to spot and could cause mechanical and electrical issues. Before purchasing the vehicle, residents should check for a damp or musty smell, look for water signs, discoloration, or mud in the engine, and test the functionality of all electrical components. Buyers should also consider having their own mechanic inspect the vehicle. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has officially announced his candidacy for governor in the 2026 election. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in the Democratic primary field weeks after Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be seeking a third term. In his announcement, he said his background and experience in office make him uniquely prepared for the job. If victorious in the first gubernatorial race without an incumbent since 2010, Crowley would be the state's first black governor, while Rodriguez would be the first woman elected. The Wisconsin Beef Council and Gather Wisconsin have introduced their 2025 Prime Rib Trail as part of an effort to showcase restaurants across the state. The 16-restaurant trail includes four locations in the Northwest Wisconsin region, including Chicken Chasers Bar and Grill in Fall Creek, Jake's Supper Club in Menominee, Lehman's Supper Club in Rice Lake, and Pine Creek Pit Stop in Ashland. Residents can also nominate their favorite restaurant for consideration in the 2026 Prime Rib Trail on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website or on social media. Xcel Energy is launching a new initiative to offer free home energy assessments to income-qualified customers. According to a press release, the new initiative is meant to help those customers improve their home energy efficiency and reduce their energy bills. The home energy assessments will be conducted by trained contractors with special equipment designed to detect areas where the air could be escaping the home or gaps in the insulation. Qualified customers can schedule their free home energy assessment on Xcel Energy's website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers wrap it up in Texas.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 3 of the Brewers-Rangers series today in Arlington. Milwaukee losing again last night, this time 5-4. The Rangers rookie Michael Helman, the star again, with a leaping catch over the outfield fence to deny Bryce Terang a home run. And then he went out and hit his own two-run homer in his next at-bat. The Brewers have reactivated Rhys Hoskins after missing 57 games with an injured thumb. NFL, the Packers signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth $13 million. Watson suffering a torn ACL early January against the Bears, expected back later this season. The Packers play the Commanders tomorrow night at Lambeau Field. Kickoff 7:15. Offensive tackle Zach Tom and guard Aaron Banks, both questionable for the game. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers played Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Kickoff 11 a.m. It looks like Danny O'Neill will again start at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected through about mid-morning. Then you can expect a mix of clouds and sun with high temperatures in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. A beautiful day on Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high of 76. Currently, it's 59.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation, and we'll be back before you know it. If you'd like to join us today, give us a call. Send us a text. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, for we are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. We have a jam-packed show for you today. At 9:35, Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author, as well as the creator of a Substack called For Such Times as This. And she will be joining us again today. She's our monthly guest, talking about the influence of Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism. She is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community. And she joins our show to give us a really deep dive and an insight into that world, and not only about what to know, but how to spot it in our halls of power. So she will be with us at 9:35. At 10:06 in our second hour, Rick Reed is an economics professor from Fox Valley Technical College. He joins us as well every quarter or so, when we need him, and we need him. He reached out to us about being on the show today. We're going to be talking about President Trump's attempts to bully the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, why this is the fact, and why this doesn't help America with the intentions that Donald Trump seeks with regard to trying to force the Fed to make America look better again. That's going to be at 10:06. And then at 10:35, because she's taking some time off, Brittany Merlot is going to be joining us with Weather and Wine. So Weather and Wine early Wednesday. We're going to get an update on the weather for this weekend up into next week, as well as discuss a nifty tool. I said nifty. That's right. A nifty tool that's from NOAA that just helps us with flood inundation a warning. And it'll be a great discussion with Brittany. And then, of course, at 10:52, we end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Get Your Wands Out, the Dumpus Eliminatus edition. So you don't want to go anywhere. This is going to be a packed show. Lots going on. First, before we get anywhere, I want to introduce the board lord, Captain Slide. I mean, General. I'm going to promote you as of today. You're now General Slide. It's Calvin Butenhoff on the boards, everybody.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's hump day. After today's show's over, we'll be more than halfway through the week already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's... just the way, hump day. You just sound so thrilled about Wednesday.
You know, people always gripe on Mondays. Mm-hmm. For me, Tuesday is usually the draggiest day of the week.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, we're on the other side of that. We're moving in the right direction.
It provides hope. I understand that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, Calvin will be with us the entire show. I hope you stick with us the entire show. I'm very excited about what we're going to be talking about today. And before we... kick it off into giving you the exact article that we're going to be discussing this morning as part of our syllabus. That's right. I just stole that from Jim Santel. Take it. Ah. I'm going to read a quote. And I want you and you folks to think about who you think may have said this. I know you're going to get this in one singular guess, but I want you to think about this. Quote goes like this. I've been watching over the course of the past several weeks as my Democratic colleagues have been talking about what they would like to accomplish this fall. And the vast majority of things they'll be introducing are repealing some good things that we have done. They are not really focusing on the future. They're continuing to obsess about the past and the good work that we have done. Unlike our Democratic colleagues, we really look forward to, we were looking at the issues that are important to the entire state of Wisconsin. I believe we have, the gentleman who has said that statement has entered the chat. Calvin, do you have his theme music? Yes, that was Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in a new article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Baylor Spears with the byline came out this morning. Assembly Republicans announced scattered package of education bills and task force. Wow, task force is hard to discuss words on a Wednesday. But yesterday there was a press conference with Robin Voss. There is a picture. I will put this article in the show notes, and I can guarantee you that the people behind him seem like they want to be anywhere but in front of that press briefing. The Assembly Republicans announced a broad education agenda Tuesday, along with a set of task forces. The slate of proposals they plan to advance this fall include one to encourage school districts to consolidate and one to push Governor Tony Evers to opt into a federal choice school program. Though exact bill details were scant, of course, among the new task forces is one that pursues goals similar to those that the Republican committee established last year to improve government efficiencies. So if you don't remember, actually, let's give you two layers of storytelling here. First, remember DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, headed by Elon Musk. You know, that guy who was our shadow president for a few months, but now he's gone trying to recoup his image and trying to make you believe that he's not a bad guy, even though he tried to buy a state Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin with over $100 million. Yeah, that guy. So there was the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, and they did a lot of damage. And we don't know the extent of it, but they're talking anywhere between $150 to $160 billion in damage to the federal government in the guise of trying to save us money. Well, shortly after DOGE came out, Robin Voss, along with his cohorts, came out with a group called GOAT. I'm not kidding you. This is a real thing. I'm not making this up. Again, I'm not that funny. GOAT, Government Oversight and Accountability Task Force. Same thing, only applied to Wisconsin. That sort of went away. That sort of went the way of the dodo. We don't really hear about GOAT anymore, but they want to revive it in a new way. They want to rebrand it. But before we talk about the task forces, I want to talk about the educational components. They want to look at consolidating school districts, encourage them to consolidate and share services. According to this article by Baylor Spears in the Wisconsin Examiner, currently there are 421 public school districts around the state. And they're because of declining enrollment, there are a number that may be cut. Representative Amanda Nedweski, who is a representative in Pleasant Prairie, which is right about where I live, said that this seeks to address financial issues school districts are facing by encouraging them to consolidate and sharing their services. We have lost 53,000 students over the last decade because student enrollment is the primary driver of our state's school funding formula. Districts experiencing declined enrollment receive less money in state aid. I followed the budget pretty closely with Jane and with you, Cal, and with Dan Schaefer and with many other people. I feel like the less state aid that's happening for schools is because the Republicans cut state aid for schools for K-12, and they did it again in this budget. They did it in the last budget. They do it all the time. I don't understand, and folks, call me or text me or leave a comment on the live stream. Let me know how I'm not getting this, because apparently they're not going to get state aid because of declining enrollment. But they're not getting state aid at all because of the Republicans. That's how I've seen it, because as we saw in this year's biennium budget, they got no increase in K through 12. There were other increases in education, and that's great. And I'm happy about that. It's not enough. It's never enough. And frankly, Wisconsin can afford it. We have a surplus. The surplus in last year was about $7.1 billion. And by the end of this year, we're looking to be back to about $4.6 billion. Now, you also have to take into account that some of that money is going to come go away because we're giving it away in tax refunds, tax credits, or, you know, tax cuts, I should say, for folks here in Wisconsin, which is okay, which is fine. Does add up to about $180, depending. But, you know, let's not spend that money on kids. Let's close the schools. Let's combine them. Let's keep not funding them. Nedweski goes on to say Democrats might argue that the solution is something to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that's there, that less kids are being born today than they were 20 years ago. Calvin, did you hear that? That's the key word. Less kids are being born. We need to have more children. More children need to be born. Because if we don't have more children, we cannot fund them, cannot fund these schools. I mean, why bother? It's a very much a why bother situation. It's like when you see that there's a movie, The Naked Gun, not the new one, but the original, where Lieutenant Drebin is standing in front of a fire and just saying, there's nothing to see here. Just keep on walking. We got it taken care of. And they want to take care of what's called the cycle of referendum. And we've discussed that as well on the show. The cycle of referendum. I voted last year to increase my personal property taxes to help fund the schools in Kenosha, even though I don't have children, because I believe investing in the future helps with the community. That's not how the Republicans see it. They never do. They want to close schools. They want to combine services. And here's another. A bill from Republican Representative Jesse Rodriguez of Oak Creek will instruct Evers, Governor Evers, to opt into a new federal school choice tax program. So Wisconsin's going to get into, we're already, by the way, we're already funding two school systems. If you didn't know that, we're funding two school systems. We've got our public schools, which we give almost no money to, not enough, nothing for K through 12. But we also have our private schools. What do you mean that? Yes, your tax dollars gets taken out of the stream for the schools and given to voucher programs, to school choice programs. So we're funding two school programs here. Now, according to Representative Rodriguez, he wants to instruct Evers to opt into a new federal choice program. Gene on the live stream, Gene on the line is calling from Eau Claire. Gene, what do you say? How are you doing this morning? I'll bet you are fired up and gosh darn it, not happy about it.
Good guess. We've got a bunch of morons running our state that take control. Hey, you know, what's going on in our federal government started as an example in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And what they did and going after all of our institutions, you know, and changing everything Walker did. He made a mess of our state.
Yeah.
And they went to other states too, because I was thinking, what in the devil are they doing passing all of these changes in our state? And then I noticed, I started checking it out, and they were doing it in other states.
Yeah.
Blue states. I mean, this has been like a ongoing thing, and then it makes it up to our federal government. And we finally got some sanity back in our state, and these yahoos are still trying to keep it coming. They're idiots. They don't care about the state, and it's nuts when we are paying for two separate school systems, one that we don't even have any comment or ability to check out,
mm-hmm.
and the other one that is for the public. It is so crazy. Keep up the great work. I just can't believe all this stuff. And I got to say one more thing.
Real quick, Jeannie, we're coming up on against the wall. What's going on?
This is my opinion. GOP now stands for Guardians of the Predators. This is my opinion. I'm mad about that too. So you have a good day.
You as Bye-bye. Well, Jeannie. And we're going to keep the conversation going about this press conference held yesterday by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss about how they want to consolidate power in the face of the courts, in the face of the governor. And more on the education ideas and these task forces when we return. Don't forget, get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Go grab some water. Stay hydrated. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, but will be back before you know it. If you want to call us, you want to text us, it's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Still to come at 9:35 after the bottom of the hour news, we've got Andrew Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, here to talk about the influence of Christian nationalism in our government, in our halls of power, in our neighborhoods and communities. We're going to be talking a lot about a gentleman in Idaho who has more influence than you think. But Andrew Watkins is going to be here at 9:35 to just talk about it more. And then at 10:06, Rick Reed is a professor of economics from Fox Valley Technical College, talking about all of the business going on with Trump versus the Fed and why bullying people and organizations aren't what we need to do in this country, and they don't really help us to begin with. Then Weather and Wine at 10:35, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:52, so don't go anywhere. We've got a great, great show ahead. Just want to say this really quick here. Before we went and got ourselves some water and some snacks, we were talking to Jeannie from Eau Claire, and she is always fired up and ready to go. She has always got her ducks in a row when she wants to talk about what's on her mind. And Tony on the live stream says, I've never met Jeannie from Eau Claire, but she is one of my favorite people. Yep. I love the fire. I love the zest. I love the sass. I love it all. And she keeps it very Calvin. She keeps it very Midwestern. I'd say Midwestern cussing. She's not cussing, but like, gall dang it, gosh darn it. Those are like, you know, I enjoy those. I enjoy those in place of your traditional cuss words.
I always appreciate that she qualifies her more controversial, but I would say still accurate with that it is just her opinion.
Yes, exactly. I won't say they're right or wrong, but wink. Thanks always for getting in touch with us, Jeannie. We really appreciate you. We were talking about, before we ran and got some water, we were talking about the fact that there was a press conference yesterday with Robin Voss, who is the Speaker of the Assembly here in Wisconsin, and his buddies, and they want to put together a bunch of task forces as well as some new bills to, they want to move forward. You know, Wisconsin, our motto is forward. I think the Democrats are moving backwards, but the Republicans want to move forward. They want to move forward with somehow defunding our schools even more by closing them down and consolidating them. And I'm sure they've got their eyes locked on Madison and MPS because they love those school districts. And they also want to get some task forces in place to get some government efficiency in there. They want to doge it up, but they don't want to say doge because, you know, that's a naughty word now. I don't know what to say to it other than you say you're moving forward, but what you're really doing is you are trying to take us backwards because one of your task forces looks at the rulemaking process and how to rework that. It's the top one they talk about. It's the rulemaking process. Because as we saw, the court came out with some opinions that favored the governor, allowed him to distribute grants. And like, so there was the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Grant program. It lapsed last year. And they want to bring this back. It's a popular thing. This is not a partisan, deeply divided thing. It's a very popular grant. And because the governor went ahead and wanted to move this forward, Robin Voss got very upset because he doesn't like it when people try to take his power because the popcorn king is in charge of everything. So they want to look at the rulemaking process and see about, you know, what can they do, as always, to get their power back. They don't really care about you. They don't care about the people. They, as Jeannie says, they don't care about the people. They care about their power. And they should really watch it, too, because next year is an election. And if they keep doing things like this, I don't have time to go into all the task forces. And maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow, because, frankly, I feel like we should all know more about these task forces. But they want to bring in an efficiency task force, much like their failed GOAT, which is an offshoot of DOGE. But they also want to look, it's called the Federal Department, the Government Oversight and Accountability Transparency Committee. That was the original, that was GOAT. And they want to revamp it, but they also want to see how they can create efficiencies with the government using AI. And I just want to make something very clear before we go to the bottom of the hour news. This is 2025. Next year is 2026. That's going to be their year where they're not going to do a lot. They want to ram these bills through and get these task force started. They need to have them up and running by the end of the year because their session ends soon, ends after October, and then next year is their 10-month holiday year. We are the ones who work a little bit faster in the assembly, but an awful lot of these become law because of our partnership with the state Senate. I'm extremely confident by February, when we adjourn, we will produce a good package of bills we can all stand behind. They can stand behind because they don't want to stand in front and take the blame for what they're doing to Wisconsin. Remember, next year is the 10-month vacation. They will be until February. They will do their business, and they'll be walking around Wisconsin. And they're going to try to hurt our schools. They're going to try to hurt our kids. They're going to try to consolidate their power so the governor has nothing. And I'm frankly tired of it. Remember, next year is an election year. myvote.wi.gov to find out who represents you. Talk to them, tell them what you think about the job they're doing, and remember to keep up with who's running in your districts, because your voting is your voice. We're going to keep talking. We're going to talk to Andrew Watkins next, best-selling author, New York Times, talking about white Christian nationalism in our halls of power and in our communities. Don't go anywhere. Have yourself a break. Have yourself a snack. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that archery and crossbow deer hunting season opens this weekend. According to a press release, the two seasons will run through January 4th, except in counties and subunits that have extended their seasons through January 31st. DNR officials say the early archery and crossbow seasons are a great opportunity for hunters to harvest antlerless deer before additional hunting pressure changes their patterns. Bonus authorizations are still available in a number of counties. A newly proposed bill could expand Wisconsin's move-over law to include non-emergency vehicles. Under current state law, drivers are required to move over when approaching an emergency vehicle with flashing lights, including tow trucks assisting a crash or law enforcement authorities conducting a traffic stop. The new legislation would also require drivers to move over for any vehicle with flashing or hazard lights on the shoulder. Wisconsin would be the 20th state in the country to pursue the expansion of the move-over law. University of Minnesota Duluth union workers have officially gone on strike along with union workers from other UM campuses. Union officials say they authorized the strike because the University of Minnesota failed to meet the needs of their 1,400 union workers across the system. The union workers include critical positions like food service, sanitation, and maintenance. Union leaders also say they urged members to accept the last deal offered by the university system, but 82% of their members voted against it. The city of Ashland has received $1 million in grant funding for an overdue road reconstruction project. According to city officials, the funding from the Community Development Block Grant Program will be used for the reconstruction of 13th Avenue East between Highway 2 and 6th Street East. The project will also see the replacement of a water main installed in the 19th century that has become a common source of problems for the city. Officials say there are a number of other roads in the area that are also long overdue for repairs. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of The Office should probably know by now there is a spinoff of the show called The Paper. The show dropped last week and is shot in the same mockumentary style as The Office was. The pilot of the show lacked some of that natural quirkiness that The Office had. There were a few laughs, but I don't see the show going that far without a Steve Carell or Rainn Wilson. If you're interested to see for yourself, check out The Paper on Peacock. The highly awaited Task has dropped on HBO. Series creator and showrunner Brad Inglesby is also the creative force behind the critically acclaimed Mayor from Easttown. Heading up the cast is Mark Ruffalo, who is joined by Tom Pelfrey, Amelia Jones, and nightlight pal Jamie McShane. The show follows a task force led by Ruffalo that is trying to stop a series of home robberies. I watched the pilot, which aired last weekend, and really dug it. Unfortunately, we only get one episode a week from HBO. New episodes drop at 9 p.m. Sunday nights. Definitely worth a look, and if you haven't seen it yet, check out Mayor from Easttown with Kate Winslet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected through about mid-morning. Then you can expect a mix of clouds and sun with high temperatures in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. A beautiful day on Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high of 76. Currently, it's 59.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There's so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Can you hear me now?
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, and you are back with us, and we're happy to have you. If you want to call or text, get us on your phone. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. We are waiting. We have Andrew Watkins here. We're working through a few technical difficulties. No big deal. We will have her on before we know it. And we are going to talk about Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism. She is a survivor of a Christian nationalist community. She is also a New York Times bestselling author, as well as the author and creator of the Substack, For Such a Time as This. If you want to get that in your life, subscribe, go to Substack and find that out, and we can absolutely get you in touch. We've got Andra on the phone right now. Andra, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. I'm going to try an experiment here. I'm going to bring you in, and we can see. There we go. We got both mediums. You're on the live stream, but we also got you on the phone. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Usually I can fix that really quickly, and for some reason today it just did not work. But anyway, we're here, so it's good to see you, Greg.
It's great to see you as well. I really appreciate your time. And I want to, before we get into anything, I want to kick this off with a video clip. And it's something I sent to you, and when you email back, you're like, oh, I know this guy. I know all about him. I'm familiar with his whole milieu. So before we talk, let's play the clip, Calvin. We've actually got the clip in two pieces. I want to play the first part now. It's a little bit longer, about a minute and a half. But after we're done, we're going to talk about this man, who he is, and what I want to say stands for. But I don't like that phrase because it just feels more bold and honorific. But Calvin, please play that clip for us.
Working journalist, and I'm a mom of three.
The kind of people that people come out of.
So you just think they're meant to have babies. That's it. They're just a vessel.
No, it doesn't take any talent to simply reproduce biologically. The wife and mother, who is the chief executive of the home, is entrusted with three or four or five eternal souls.
I'm here as a working journalist, and I'm a mom of three.
Good for you.
Is that an issue?
No. No, it's not automatically an issue.
Christchurch senior pastor Doug Wilson is the leader of a Christian nationalist movement that believes in a patriarchal society where men are dominant and women are expected to submit to their husbands. Josh and Amy Prince, along with their four kids, moved from Washington State to Moscow, Idaho, where Wilson's movement is based.
Do you see Amy as your equal?
Yes and no, in the sense that we're both saved by grace. We're absolutely on equal footing. But we have very different purposes, God-given.
But do you see yourself as the head of the household, as the man?
He is the head of our household.
Yes,
and I do submit to him.
So like moving here,
I was just
was ultimately
say that.
Your decision.
Yes.
That's a great example.
Wilson says in his vision of a Christian society, women as individuals shouldn't be able to vote. His fellow pastors, Jared Longshore and Toby Sumter, agree.
In my ideal society, we would vote as households. And I would ordinarily be the one that would cast the vote, but I would cast the vote having discussed it with my household.
But what if your wife doesn't want to vote for the same
right.
person as you?
Right. Well, then that's a great opportunity for a good discussion.
There are some who have gone so far as to say that they want the 19th Amendment repealed.
I would support that. And I'd support it on the basis that the atomization that comes with our current system is not good for humans.
Okay, well, there was a lot to unpack there. Here's the thing. I just want to give the... Okay, so as I said before, Andrew Watkins is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community. I am not. I was raised Catholic. The laziest of the Christians, if you ask me. So this, for me, whenever I hear it, is always the blood boiling, the skin curdling. Everything about it makes me so mad and shocked and all these... But for you, Andra, this is... Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I did not grow up in a church that is as extreme as Doug Wilson's is, shockingly. You know, Doug Wilson is a dominionist,
mm-hmm.
Christian nationalist, and I talk a lot about the three sects of Christian nationalism. So there's the Baptist, Protestant, Presbyterian sect. There's the dominionist sect, which is charismatic, Pentecostal based. And then there's Opus Dei Catholicism, which you obviously didn't have any exposure to when you were growing up.
Mm-mm.
So Doug Wilson is in the dominionist Christian persuasion of this. And he is a very radicalized extremist in the sense that he believes only men should lead, only white men should lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how he runs his churches. You know, only the men lead, only the men hold positions of leadership, only the men address the community. Women cannot do that. I grew up in a church like that, actually, where women could not teach boys once they reach puberty in Sunday school, and women could not address the congregation from the pulpit. So Doug Wilson operates that way. He, you know, obviously believes that women belong in the home, being mothers and submitting to men, and believes that men should make the decisions about society, who's going to lead society, and how we're going to govern society.
So for those who's joined us maybe mid-conversation, because PJ on the live stream said, what the H did I just hear? That was a gentleman named Doug Wilson, who is a pastor in Idaho, along with parishioners. Other pastors. I don't even like using the word pastor. I know pastors. They're good people. This guy is not, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Like Jeannie from Eau Claire says, just my opinion. But what for an outsider, which is what I am from this world, what I did hear though was the polish, the soft side of it all. The women are the chief executives of the home. Really quick, Andra, as you are a woman and you are part of this group, what is the pay structure to be the chief executive of the home?
Zero.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure. And the way they put it out there is just so like this is about family and my husband is the head of the house and I submit to him. And if we only have one vote, we will talk about it. When really that's all a lie. Women are subject to the men. Men make the decisions. Women can think they have positions of power in the home, but really they are about not being talented by having babies, lots of babies, and doing whatever their community and their husbands tell them to do. I mean, that's the more real version of this very polished, very, very, you know, this interview they did where they knew exactly who they were talking to and what they needed to say to make themselves look well-adjusted and normal.
Right. And in groups among themselves, you can find video of Doug Wilson saying things like, if a man has sex with his wife and she doesn't want to have it, that's not rape.
Mm-hmm.
Marital rape doesn't happen to Doug Wilson and in his church because it is always a woman's job to service her husband whenever he wants it. That is part of submitting to your husband. So therefore marital rape can never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll say more extreme things like that amongst his own community or amongst friendly ears.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets in front of someone from CNN, he polishes it up to making his wife chattel by calling her the chief executive of the home. But really what these men believe is that their women their wives and their children are their property. And that is what they want to have happen.
And but I've seen the videos too, even in the, and by the way, if you're just joining us, we are on Matt and Air on Air, Civic Media Radio Network, talking to the wonderful Andrew Watkins, New York Times bestselling artist and author and the creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. And we're discussing Doug Wilson, specifically his church. You said Dominion Christian Nationalist Movement, and just, I, you know, even in the way they present it, though, from the public, because you see the video from when they're talking in church, they're still presenting it as a thing of, well, the man has needs and he needs to procreate and he needs to populate the earth. And if he has to, you know, and any sin he portrays, any sin he takes a part in, it's never a problem because he's saved. That's the man. He's the head. There's pressures. We have Andrew. I don't know if you know. I'm a man. I have things I need to do, and apparently, it's do whatever I want in spite of what my wife thinks. And I'm sorry if she has a problem with that. But I'm a man. Forgive me. Calvin had a question for you, though, Andrew. I just want to make that point real clear.
Yeah, I guess my question, and this might be an impossible question to answer. It's kind of like a chicken or the egg type of deal. But how much of this is a genuine belief that this is revelation from God and this is a good faith interpretation of scripture versus a justification for the perverse form of control they desire?
It's the latter, 100%.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is absolutely, these men think that they have a handle on the one true God. You know, the way they portray God, vengeful, angry Old Testament God, is who they worship. That's the one true God, and they are that one true God's representatives on earth. And since, you know, the one true God doesn't come down here and tell us what the one true God means with anything, the one true God has picked these men to represent the one true God. I don't assign sex to God. That's just too, you know.
Whoa, Andrew Watkins is woke here. My goodness.
So, you know, that's what they believe. So they believe they're God's representatives on earth, and so whatever they say, they're making themselves God. Mm-hmm. They're violating the second commandment of the Ten Commandments by making themselves gods. But they can't even quote all the Ten Commandments anyway, so what does it matter?
this is a question that maybe, I mean, this is just for more of a play around for the three of us here. So when you talk about a vengeful Old Testament God, my friends who study the Old Testament and live their lives by the Old Testament are Jewish, and they don't invoke a vengeful, spitey, mean-spirited, commanding God of the... I mean, granted, there are sects of Judaism that says men are the household, but I have friends who are Jewish who do not view the Old Testament the same way these men do. And also, is there a point where they can just pull Jesus out of that equation? They put such a price on being saved as you, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but Jesus's word was about love and service and community and inclusion and happiness and loving God. He is the head of everything. He is my dad. Worship him. But his viewpoint, Jesus's viewpoint, has become a little too loving and liberal and woke for them. So is there a point where they could actually say, we don't really need Jesus? He's not important right now. In fact, before you answer that, we gotta run to get some snacks and get some water. So we're going to come back. I want you to think about that. The quote, evolution of the church. If they just like a smitey God, is that all they need? Do they no longer need Jesus? We're going to talk to Andrew Watkins about that. When we come back, we're going to grab some snacks, grab some water. Don't go anywhere. We're having a great talk. Andrew is a New York Times bestselling author and the creator of For Such a Time as This on Substack. Subscribe now. Get her in your life. She's fantastic. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is the story of the one.
As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently resting, currently vacating away, but we'll be back before you know it. She just texted me. She misses you, and she loves you. She'll be back sooner than you know it. I'm Greg Box, sitting in for the rest of the week. I got Calvin Butenhoff on the boards here, Sweet Calby, also known as the Board Lord, and we are talking to Andrea Watkins, who is a New York Times best-selling author. I always like saying that. It just sounds so fancy. Like, I'm around fancy people when I say that. Not just the readers, but an author. Also, creator of the Substack for such a time as this. She is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community, and she comes on the show every month to talk about her experience and also talk about what we need to be on the lookout for, because this is not just about communities in Idaho that are fringe in the forest or doing their thing away from influence. They're very much in the halls of power, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But before we went to grab some snacks, Andrea, I asked a question really quick, and you know, all religion evolves, people evolve the Bible how they want, and the cornerstone was always, as long as Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are saved, you've given yourself up to being saved, that's what you need. But what we've also seen is, I don't even want to say a perversion of Jesus's message, because it's just an all-encompassing forgetting, just a swiping away of the love, inclusion, acceptance, and, you know, doing good for others and community. So my question is, for a group who loves smitey Old Testament God, is there a way that they can just take Jesus out of the equation or make him tougher and say, well, when he made those loaves and fishes, he didn't want everyone to eat them. He said, eat if you want, but you don't have to because a real Christian doesn't need to eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just feels so weird that Jesus's central message is being erased.
Well, Doug Wilson has written a whole book about the sin of empathy.
Of course he has.
You know, he's written a whole book about how bad empathy is for humanity. So there are a number of people in that world who decry empathy. But I like to say that Christian nationalists use Jesus Christ as a fire escape.
Okay.
So, you know, we escape hell, and then they don't really ever talk about Jesus again in any meaningful way. You know, they are all about vengeful, angry, smitey Old Testament God and inflicting as much Old Testament judgment on Americans and humanity as they possibly can. So it's not that they'll ever set Jesus Christ aside, even though some of them privately will say Jesus was a wimp.
Yeah.
And yep. Jesus wasn't tough enough. And Jesus was too kind to people and whatever. And we need to be tougher. And we need to use, you know, be what vengeful, angry Old Testament God said and stone people to death for, you know, accusing a man of raping them and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, we'd live in such a better world if that's what we had. So it really is this authoritarian mindset that gets baked into these churches that's been going on for 50 years, where they've all been trained to accept a dictator because all the pastors are mini dictators. Doug Wilson is a mini dictator. And so these churches run like dictatorships. And so, you know, that's really more what it's about. These men have been able to replace God for their congregations and be God in the flesh.
It would be easy to say, well, that sucks for the parishioners, but it really also it's terrible for them, and it's terrible for us as Americans, because Doug Wilson has a hold in the U.S. government by way of Secretary of Defense, of War, Pete Hegseth.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Hegseth found his church a number of years ago. He's, I think, sent his children to one of the schools that's attached to one of those churches. And so, you know, he's speaking at the Pentagon sometimes, or his surrogates are, when he has his illegal prayer meetings and church meetings. So, you know, these people are embedded in government now. And this kind of mentality is what's driving Pete Hegseth's purges of women from the military and firing women from leadership positions in the military. It's what's driving purging women from the Department of Defense. I refuse to call it what they want to call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of it. It's Doug Wilson's mentality about where women belong.
And that's something I want to end this discussion with today. And it's something you brought up last time that I don't know why it hit me like a bolt of truth, because it's true, but you don't think about it because it's not in my world. But these are not the fringes. These are not the crazies. These are not the people in the woods having revival tent revivals and dancing with snakes. These are people who have legit brick and mortar churches around the country, and they are in not just the U.S. government, they're in the halls of power, state, local, and federal.
And yeah, I mean, Mike Johnson is a Christian nationalist. So he's a Baptist Christian nationalist. So it's, but he has dominionist tendencies as well. They all do now, of taking over the world and forcing everyone to live by their interpretation of the Bible. So this applies whichever version of it you're talking about. And we have probably hundreds of Christian nationalists in our federal government apparatus now because of this regime, who believe that they have the right to force everyone in society to live by religious laws that they have drawn up from their interpretations of the Bible.
Andrew Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author, got to say it again, and the creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. Please subscribe to this. Please read her books. Please get her in your life. It's important information for us to know. And then share what you know with people, because these are the things that We don't talk about certain things at the dinner table, but we need to start talking about them now because they affect all of us. Andrea, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your time. As always, I will look forward to talking to you next month, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, great. After the top of the hour news, we're going to be talking with economics professor Rick Reed about why bullying the Fed is not a good idea for you, for me, and the country. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel continues defending its airstrike on Doha, even though around the world, the move has been soundly criticized.
The strike causing international outcry, Qatar condemning the attack, calling it state terrorism and accusing Israel of sabotaging ceasefire talks. Israel says it was entirely justified, though Hamas called it a failure, claiming that none of its leaders were killed. Instead, they say it only killed security guards and the son of a Hamas leader, as well as a member of the Qatari security forces.
ABC's James Longman in Doha. Russia says it did not deliberately target Poland when drones were sent over the border and into Polish airspace. Polish and NATO air defenses were scrambled, shooting down the drones. A Russian airstrike on pensioners picking up their checks in eastern Ukraine this week, killing 24. Inflation at the wholesale level eased a bit last month. The producer price index down 2.6% on a yearly basis. Tomorrow, we find out about price indexes at the consumer level. This is ABC News.